This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hello and welcome to The Complete Guide to Everything, a podcast about everything. I'm one of your hosts, Tom.
And I'm Tim.
Tim, how are you doing this week?
Tom, I'm punching.
You're trying to start the show before the show starts.
I know. I'm going on like maybe 1.5 to 2 hours sleep right now.
Why is that?
There's a sick toddler in my home. It's my son.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Because otherwise, I was going to say, that's too long. You should have called the police or something about.
Poor little guy's tummy was not great last night. You know, you can't just leave a 2-year-old to be like, okay, here's a bucket. Like,
right, because they're going to miss that bucket all the time.
Yeah, and like, it's not,
yeah,
and
you want to comfort them, yeah.
They get upset.
Yeah.
Well, I get upset. Tom, do you remember being a kid and throwing up and it like makes you cry? Or like, just like get upset and you're just
I mean, throwing up like nowadays makes my eye makes me cry.
That's
like,
the
makes
same
my
thing.
Eyes
like,
water.
I still get upset when I throw up.
Yeah, like I don't get I guess I do get upset.
I
but,
call
like,
for
I'm
my
not,
mommy.
I'm not crying because I'm sad or anything, but like my eyes water like crazy.
I'm
when
scared.
I'm throwing up.
I'm always like, what is happening? And then I was like, oh right.
I drank all that. Or I ate that street sushi.
Street sushi. Huh?
That's sushi you just find on the street.
You ever get food poisoning, Tom?
Yeah, but not in a long time. Not since I was like a kid, actually, I think.
Really?
Or like, you know, more than like, you know, being ill for like the evening.
Yeah. I only got food poisoning once in my life in college.
Mm-hmm.
And Tom?
Yeah.
I don't know if this is, it's the first couple minutes. When I realized I was really in for it, is when like the smells coming out from one end are the same as the smells coming out from the other end.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh no, this is completely infiltrated.
Right. Yeah. So somebody's not doing their job in there and letting everything pass.
Yeah. I'm a little punchy.
Yeah. Well, but the reason why I said you were starting the show before the show started, because we started talking about the topic, to kind of see like, you have ideas where we don't really talk much before the shows
anymore.
And well, yeah, in the past,
our entire, all of our interactions happen when, when the mics are on.
Yeah.
When the tape's running.
As soon as the mic's off, there's just like an awkward 10 minutes of silence as we both just quietly pack everything away.
Yeah.
Without a word.
We light up, we each light up a cigarette.
Yeah.
Silently, gather our things.
We don't talk about the topic beforehand.
Right.
Well, it depends on the topic. But this week we knew like we don't really have to establish the boundaries of like, okay, well if we're talking, you know, I'm trying to think of anything we've done recently.
Tacos. I don't think we did tacos.
No, we haven't done tacos. But we might say, okay, well, are we talking about like Taco Bell? Or are we talking about like homemade tacos? Yeah. You know, what's the shape of this thing?
Mm-hmm.
You picked a pretty specific example. I was looking for maybe something a little broader.
Well,
but,
I'm sorry, Tom.
Well, we should have talked before
you know
the
what?
Show.
I wouldn't have known. You didn't have to pull the curtain back that far because I was like, oh, this is a fantastic example of what you're saying, of what you were trying to convey.
Yes, exactly.
So you took my, like, I thought it was a pretty good suggestion.
Uh-huh.
You didn't have any better suggestion, and you spun it into to gold. You articulated what you wanted to articulate, so I don't see what your problem is. You don't have to call me out.
All right, so you get it. But with this, just a second.
Sorry, I forgot what we were talking about. And I was just like, well, I got to keep talking. That might happen.
You're really mad at me.
No, I was trying to fill air. For some reason, you have carte blanche, Tom. Just cut me off anytime, because I'm just gonna. I don't know what I'm saying.
but with this topic, O.J. Simpson, right before I started, I was like, "All right, like you've got stuff, I've got stuff, right?" Like, and then we started talking, and then you immediately just kind of jumped into like the beginning of the episode. So I said, "I better hit record, and we better just start."
Yeah.
Because we were both talking about how we're kind of both aficionados of O.J. Simpson.
It's O.J. Simpson week on the Complete Guide.
Right, because he died.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, look, we might be being a little flip because the man died.
Yeah.
But I don't know. We're gonna.
But he was a murderer. So he was a murderer that got away with it. So you could be a little flip.
Yeah, and then like bragged about it.
Yeah.
For decades after.
But you were bringing up right before I started recording that we're both like experts on O.J. Simpson, except for anything to do with his football career, which is what he not what he was most famous for by now, for sure. But it's what he was most famous for the first half of his life.
I don't know what position he played.
I think he was a running back.
Sure. That makes sense.
I know he played for the Bills.
Right.
And then who did he play for in college?
But you can look that up on the internet.
Right.
You go to Wikipedia. That's not what we're doing here.
What you might not know is that he was put on trial for murder.
Yeah, that's something that we can tell you about. And he starred in all three Naked Gun movies.
Yes.
As Nordberg,
yeah.
And a pilot for a Frogman television program.
And he was in a couple of other things.
Yeah,
I can't remember what they are off the top of my head, but those
we'll get into. I want to talk about his TV and film.
Oh, okay. But those are the things he was most famous for. But I think it was mostly just because the O.J. Simpson trial happened, like when we were both youngish, mid teens.
Yeah, happened. 94 was the
murders.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I was, 12.
Yeah.
Trial, 13. Yeah, we're in that weird generation where, like, when we were really little, like, he was already done playing football.
Yeah.
I didn't even know him. Everybody's like, oh, he's from the Hertz commercials.
Yeah, but those started in the 70s. So.
Yeah, and it's like, no, he's the guy from the Naked Gun and then murdered.
I remember as a kid, like, being told, like, that guy used to be a football player. It's like, the comedic actor O.J. Simpson?
Man, what can't this guy do?
Yeah.
Surely he can't do what.
Surely he can't commit a double murder
and get away with it.
I guess it was just that it was like the timing of it was like right as we were, old enough to be interested in things in the news, and this just happened to be like the biggest thing.
Tom, you remember? I'm not sure if you recall this. A couple of years ago.
Mm-hmm.
When Will Smith slapped Chris Rock at the Oscars.
Yeah, Tim, I remember that.
Yeah, remember how into the slap we were? I think our brains
just got like permanently switched on to like celebrities committing violence.
I think it's more like when there
that type
is
of moment.
A big unexpected moment of celebrity, right? I will say, like, not to look, I just want to take this, not like I like latch on to it and like become obsessed and learn, like the same way that I became like the New York real estate guy got elected president. Like, that's a little different, but like, it's like that's the way my brain works. Like, that's how I latch on. The other tent pole event in my mind from the 90s was the Nancy Kerrigan, Tanya Harding thing. Because it's like figure skaters, violent crime, like that, like, and if something becomes a media circus, I'm like, well, this is when I love the
monocle.
I'm
running away to join the circus.
Yeah, love it. So, and OJ was just, was the biggest one, so.
Yeah.
It was a trial of the century.
Trial of the century is what some people called it.
Mm-hmm. OJ, bad guy.
Yes.
I just want to say that up top because I don't want people to be like, oh, they're making.
We're not making light of him or the crimes.
The crimes, the murders. We don't even have to say alleged anymore, right? Because libel, a dead man can't do anything to you. What is he going to sue me?
Are you thinking of the law of dead men tell no tales?
But like the
I feel like I've suggested to you in the past we should do O.J. Simpson, and you've been afraid that he would do a Richard Marx on us.
Yeah, call us out.
Call us out, but like call us out by, I don't know, showing up where we live or something like that.
Richard Marx didn't do that. He just tweeted at us.
He just tweeted at us, but if he made us feel small.
Yeah.
Or he made you feel small. He told me that he liked me.
Well, you immediately became his toady. You're like, yeah, get him, Richard Marx.
He told me that we should be friends, that we should hang out. Me and him and Daisy Fuentes.
Oh, yeah, I forgot he's married.
Yeah, man, he's got it all.
Then what is he doing tweeting at me?
Yeah, some
two-bit asshole.
Yeah.
On the internet.
Well, I guess Tom, the grass is always greener.
When I saw that Richard Marx added me, the day, like 8 hours after we released our episode on Richard Marx, which like this was in the days where I didn't even know anybody knew what podcasts were.
Right. Well, Richard,
Tom, a chill went up my spine. Like I saw that tweet and I was like, oh no. You sent it to me and I thought it was a prank.
Right.
And it's like, oh no, I think I'm going to get in real trouble here. I talked badly about Richard Marx on my dumb podcast.
Yeah.
And now the grown-ups heard and
yeah. And he's a celebrity. The police will listen to him over me. I thought you might have been afraid of a Richard Marx situation. Although technically, we have had Cato Kaelin on the show.
We have. Live show. Did that ever see the light of day on this feed? I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't think so. It might have been a Patreon-only thing.
Yeah.
But right before...
Friend of the show, Cato Kaelin.
I hired Cato through Cameo to record a bit for the show.
Yeah. And he said, you know what? I'm such a big fan.
I'll pay you.
Yeah. I'll waive the fee and I'll Venmo you.
Yeah. He said, I just love what you guys do so much.
Yeah.
That's
OJ. No. So honestly, not making light of any of the crimes, the murders, the domestic abuse, which like, whatever. Like, we don't need to get into that. That stuff's not funny. The stealing of memorabilia back. I'm not going to make light of that.
You're not going to make light? Oh, that's also a bridge too far.
But hey, was that not a goofy time look, this is why I didn't want to do OJ, Tom.
You didn't say you didn't want
to. No, in the past. In the past.
Right, when he was alive.
Because there's so much, like, you know, when you're 13, you're like, oh, there's a big famous guy.
Yeah.
And like, I can't believe they're doing parody songs on the radio about this. This is pretty good. And then like,
this is pretty good.
Right?
It is cool. The radio's playing parodies. All
right. Right? They didn't usually play parodies.
No,
so much.
But when they had like a hot
news
story.
I had to go to
my
Weird Al cassette for that.
When they had a hot news story, some intern would sit down and write a chorus and one verse of a parody song, and they would play it on the radio.
Yeah, golden era of radio.
Do you
Tom.
Remember what any of the OJ parodies were?
There was one, for some reason, it's a parody of, it was right after the Bronco chase.
Right.
Riders on the Storm.
Oh, okay, right. Because,
By the Doors, and it's OJ's on the road.
Oh, nice.
and he's got a gun. That's all I remember.
He's with A.C. Cowling. you know who he is. Damn it. God damn it.
And the Bronco chase of it all was like...
Well, I was going to say...
trying to watch the NBA finals, right? Mm-hmm. And then, like, the biggest news story happens and, like, it's tailor-made for TV, right? Like, they got the helicopters following them. It's a low-speed chase.
I mean... So
you got Robert Kardashian out there.
Mm-hmm.
Juice. Gotta come back. Juice.
You're just doing
David Schwimmer.
Yeah, David Schwimmer's Robert Kardashian. No, I remember when it happened. I remember probably maybe it was in the morning that when the victims were found, that was in the morning in LA, right? It wasn't at night. It was like very early morning.
I think so. Yeah.
But I remember like hearing about like, oh, they found O.J. Simpson's wife murdered with a presumed boyfriend. And he was like, oh, wow, that's crazy. And like, huh, I guess I'll hear more about that. Maybe. to then O.J.'s actually the suspect. And that's it's like, oh, now you've got my attention. What's going on? And then the Bronco.
I remember at Little League practice getting picked up. And on the radio, they said, I was listening to a lot of the radio in those days. I remember them saying, police say he is
hard to find parodies.
He is not a suspect. And I remember that. And then I just remember things snowballing really quickly.
That's what it was, that things just snowballed so quickly. And then that led to the Bronco chase, which, like you said, was just made for TV. And it was such an insane
Friday
thing.
Night, too.
Yeah. And I remember when they switched from like that being the little thing they were showing in the corner of the finals game to like, actually, let's put the finals in the little corner and have the Bronco chase big. Because, you know, we're looking at the numbers and this is what people are tuning in for right now. I guess that's also, maybe that's part of it for us too, that it's kind of like a throwback to the way media was when we were young.
Yeah.
Of not necessarily better or worse, but different of when a big news story happens, everything's covering it. And there wasn't really an internet. I mean, there was, but like people.
You were on it.
Yeah. I mean, there weren't like news websites to go to, sit and refresh constantly to get new updates. You had to watch TV.
And there weren't even really, there was CNN.
Mm-hmm.
But when you think about it, when the trial started, they were like, how do we get this into people? Everybody wants to see this. How do we get it into people's homes? I guess we'll just have to put it, like, forget about, like, game shows and soap operas for a year.
Yeah, we'll just put it on TV every day, on every channel.
Yeah. And, nowadays, it'd be like, hey, tune into, like, one of the four 24-hour news channels, and then still keep
depressing
bullshit they put on the daytime network TV stuff.
Yeah, I mean, you think about the Johnny Depp trial, another celebrity trial.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that was online. People watched it, you know, the whole time, right?
Tom, I still don't know what that whole thing, like, I'm not being, I'm not being flip here. I don't know what that whole thing was about. I knew that everybody was getting really upset about it, and I was just like, this seems like it's got nothing to do with me.
It was complicated because it was a domestic abuse situation, but I believe that trial was about it was like a libel trial about her, Amber Heard, saying, this guy abused me. I believe he was suing her for saying that. So very complicated because then I think part of it was like, well, what happened doesn't really matter. It's whether she could say it or not.
And, right. Okay, there was no murders involved there. That's good. That's great.
Yeah, but it did not. It was not the media circus. I mean, it was still a media circus, but you could just watch it online. Not every channel showed
but
it.
But that also makes me think, as a man of my age now and my disposition, if the OJ trial happened now or the like.
Would you drop everything and watch it every day?
Yeah, like would I care the way that I cared when I was like, guys, when I was 13, I was like, this is crazy, right? Yeah. Like, I think also like I would just say, this wasn't on my 2024 bingo card, and then I'd move on.
Right, right. That's what you say when you're surprised by something. Yeah. That you don't want to give it.
I don't have the time. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, and I guess, like, thinking back now, at least my parents did not follow the trial nearly as closely as I did. Because, like, yeah, they had shit to do.
Yeah.
And I also think...
the only time I was ever interested in the news before this was the Nancy Kerrigan, Tanya Harding situation, which I similarly followed. I was like, oh, Jeff Galooly, and, like, I think also our... SNL, Saturday Night Live intake at the time, general late night television intake, influenced the stories. Also, the Joey Buttafuoco, Amy Fisher thing. Like,
you had to stay on top of the news if you wanted to know what Jay Leno was joking about in his monologue.
If it was in the top 10 list, I gotta know about it.
Right. It my point just being, it makes a lot of sense that that our parents weren't necessarily super into it, super involved, cared. I think probably our parents were like, oh yeah, that guy did it. He's rich and famous though, so he probably won't get in trouble for it. And then that is basically what played out, and they were like, yep, all right.
There's that. Like, and this is also like the not funny part about the OJ, who's like, well, the LAPD's history of relations with the black community and stuff. And, like, you know, like, there's
after the riots.
Rodney
King and all that.
There's a lot of, nuance to this.
Yeah.
Where we were just like, famous guy on trial for murder. Whoa.
Yeah.
Because we were tweens and teens.
Yeah.
And that's fun.
What?
When a famous person
is maybe gonna get in trouble.
Yeah.
I remember. Yeah, what you were saying about like the LAPD. I guess that's really my take on the trial is, I think they did probably try to frame him.
Yeah, no, that's the line.
But I think he also did do it.
Yeah, they framed a guilty man. And like...
Yeah, they maybe, saw like, oh, shit, there's no evidence, so we'll just go ahead and plant some. But that doesn't change that he also did it. And probably they screwed up that entire conviction by...
Absolutely. By not. Like, Mark Furman, I
guess that's
shit,
really.
And
I remember that was the whole thing was, beyond a shadow of a doubt.
Right.
That's what is, especially Johnny Cochran, like, kept hammering home. Like, you don't need to say this guy's innocent, but is there doubt? If you are not 100% sure, then you can't convict this guy. And Mark Furman, the LAPD, gave plenty of reasons to not be 100% sure.
Right.
But I did want to, that reminded me of right around this time, I also remember, I think it was, my dad was a coach or an assistant coach for my brother's soccer team at the time.
Mm-hmm.
My brother would have been probably like first grade-ish, and one of the, I think maybe like my dad was going to be the coach and he was going to be assigned an assistant coach, and the assistant coach called him and left him a voicemail, was like, Hi, Mr. Reynolds. I've been assigned. I'm your assistant coach. My name is Mark Furman. And it was like the day after Mark Furman testified.
Whoa.
So my dad thought it was like somebody fucking with him. And then like the guy called and he was like, hi, it's Mark Furman. I called before. He's like, oh, yeah, sure it is. that poor guy.
Yeah.
I think luckily my dad didn't like just was like, all right, I'll let you go ahead and say what you're going to say.
Yeah.
And during the course of that was like, oh, shit, this guy's name is
he's for real.
Is Mark Furman. And he is.
But he's not the Mark Furman. He's not. He didn't Mark say Furman. The N-word on the answering machine message that I heard.
No. Yeah, because that whole thing, it was like he was doing an interview for a background for a movie.
Yeah,
right?
He
like
was
a,
being a big man about you know, like when they have consultants on movies
man.
And like, yeah, I'll tell you what it's like. And like basically brazenly admitting to like corruption and racism and just generally being a piece
using
of shit.
The N-word on the tape.
And yeah.
Which is also.
And now he's like a talking head on like news channels.
Yeah. I'm not surprised about that.
Cool.
Yeah, I mean, also, there's got to be a lot of competition in the LAPD to be like a Hollywood consultant, right?
I guess.
Because that's what everybody's probably trying to do.
Yeah, everybody's going out there to be in the pictures.
Well, I'm saying the guys who aren't the pictures, the guys who are in the police, and then they go, this stinks. I should be working in the pictures.
Yeah, exactly. It's the allure of Tinseltown.
Yeah, but I'm saying these guys are already in Tinseltown, so it's even easier.
I know, Tom. I'm talking about the industry.
I don't want you They're thinking out people there. Go out to L.A. just to be cops.
No, people go out to L.A.
Probably racist, too.
Yeah, it's fertile ground.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tom, maybe we should talk about this, because what have we been freaking talking about?
Wait, maybe we should talk about what?
Structure a little bit more on this
podcast. Oh, structure, yeah.
We're throwing around names.
Because people know these names, right? We're not trying to be some kind of complete guide to everything here.
Not everybody's 40.
Well, they should crack open a copy of Time Magazine. The one with the altered picture of OJ on the cover.
Yeah, see,
I mean, that's what it was. There were just so many stories off of this story, you know? I mean, and that's what... the ESPN 30 for 30 did such a great job capturing.
Yeah.
That it was like, this story is so much bigger because it has so much to do with race and fame and the police and how things work in LA.
It was, and like the juxtaposition of like, if there's justice for the black community in the context of the LAPD in the 90s or, you know, going back decades, that is at odds with justice for the families of the victims of this specific heinous crime. And like, you can't satisfy both.
Yeah. And then
both situations.
And
there.
Then you have
and that got
the
reduced...
complications of OJ's, connection with the black community in general.
Right.
And, you know...
And who better to talk about all this and dissect it
well, but
than
I'm
two
saying,
white men on a podcast?
I think that's what the ESPN special did a great job kind of going into.
Yeah.
Because that was an element that I was unaware of, how big of a I don't know, not issue, but like topic that was with... his college career and him going into the NFL, like how much of it was his race and his ability to, you know, make white people feel at ease and charm people. You know, they talk a lot like in LA about how he's just like, oh, you know, it would have like a lot, you know, neighbors that would normally be racist, but they loved him because he was so charming and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, that's why anybody who's like a larger than life celebrity too, like has to like operate above that no matter, and like kind of like just you know The Rock wants to be the largest star in the world, so he's just like, I'm never gonna endorse any political candidate again unless it's me running.
Right.
I'm probably an independent, right? Like,
I think that's a little different. I think he's.
You think he's turning into a right wing heel now?
There's
that money.
There's weird.
He still wants to be in like Fast and Furious movies, though.
Yeah, but there's weird stuff going on with him right now because of like his movie career kind of tanking for it,
or the
a
way
second.
That okay, where Tom Cruise will not name one movie that he like. What kind of movie do you like? He's like, I like all of them.
Yeah,
because he's like, I have to appeal to everybody all the time.
But you know that like The Rock now is like on the board of like the WWE and like owns a significant share now.
Sure, that's the smart thing to do.
But it just seems like that's very calculated with like what's going on with Vince McMahon, that he's
of course.
And I think that's why he was like, actually, The Rock takes back what he said about.
Yeah, no, exactly, because he can't like his constituency has to be everybody.
Right.
Right. He can't be controversial to anybody.
Yeah. And you're saying that that's what
OJ's, that's what OJ was doing too, right? Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, he's like, I'm like the biggest star in the world, and like, I can't come out the way that other successful black athletes have, and you know, call out racism. And so he's like, he's like, according to this documentary, I don't know, but it's just kind of like, I have my calculated position is to float above this, so everybody loves me. Mm-hmm. So like, I'm never saying anything controversial that will alienate anybody, right?
Yeah, and it might seem like a risky bet, but one day if I kill two people, I'll be able to get away with it.
It's the least risky bet, though, right? To never take a stand on anything.
Yeah. I mean, I guess it, you are kind of being a coward because, they talk a lot in
Michael Jordan saying Republicans buy sneakers, too.
Right.
And that's why he'll never say anything about.
Well, and they talk a lot about that in the ESPN doc where, they talk about the civil rights movement and other, I think it was like Muhammad Ali and I forget who else that they said, like, talk to him. And he was basically like, no, thanks. Like, I'm not interested. I don't want to come out as, like a civil rights advocate or anything. I just want to be thought of as a football player and, make a lot of money.
He played Nordberg in the Naked Gun movies.
Yeah, of course he played Nordberg.
Leslie Nielsen liked fart jokes. Just trying to lighten things up a little bit. Jeez.
This HeadGum Podcast is brought to you by Aura Frames.
That is right.
From grandmothers to new mothers, aunts, even the friends of your life, every mom loves an Aura Frame.
Holy shit, even aunts?
Yes, especially aunts.
Oh, well.
Because it was named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. I mean, these Aura Frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
I believe it.
You have an Aura Frame, don't you?
Yes, I actually more than believe it. I know it. I've got one for my mom, my mother-in-law, my grandmother-in-law.
And dare I say, your aunt?
And dare you say, my aunt and my aunt-in-law. Everyone's got one. Everyone loves them.
I mean, Mother's Day is right around the corner, and there's no better gift than a digital photo frame. You give them the frame. It's got preloaded pictures in there. And you know what? You can update it with an app. So every time you take a new picture of a sweet little person or place or thing in your life, it gets automatically sent to that frame.
Exactly.
And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. Holy smokes.
Excellent deal.
Yeah, that's AuraFrames.com. You use the code HEADGUM at checkout to save.
HEADGUM. Nice.
Yes. HeadGum. It's easy to set up. It's loved by everybody, including Oprah, including your aunt.
Mm-hmm.
So do check them out. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code HeadGum at checkout to save.
Damn right.
And terms and conditions apply, of course.
Of course.
Thanks again to Aura.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Okay, Tom.
Mm-hmm.
Where are we going to go with this?
I want to talk mostly about like stuff after the trial, I think.
Okay.
Because that's, to me, where things get like just super wacky with him. I was reading up about him post-trial, and there were some things that I hadn't even heard about that happened to him. Because, yeah, he wound up in this very weird place of like...
Las Vegas?
Yeah, you're telling me, buddy.
That's a weird place, Tom.
It is a weird place. But he wound up in this weird place where he seemingly thought, like, whew, all right, I've been found not guilty. Let me get the Zucker brothers on the phone. Let's see where they are with Naked Gun Part 4.
What would that be?
Because
he had 2.5.
44, maybe?
Like they kind of did that with 33 and a third.
Yeah.
2.5, 33. Like, I think you know what they would do?
What?
They'd realize the fourth Naked Gun movie needs to be Naked Gun 5.
Oh, yeah, or something like that, yeah. But he seemed to think, like, okay, the court found me innocent. Great. And found that, like, he could not go back to the life he had before.
Right.
And that also the Goldman
on account of the murders
on account of the murders that
and like what everybody knew about vis-a-vis him like, committing the murders
right
no matter and, what the court of law
yeah he seemed to not get that it's like oh you don't have to go to jail and that hey you should be happy about that going to jail is one of the worst things
yeah not going to jail if you're not going to jail you got that going for you
hey if
every day I wake up not in jail. It's like, well gotta count my blessings on this one.
If you're having to stand trial and they say, look, bad news. If things don't go your way here, you can't go to jail. And then it ends and you don't go to jail. Hey, to me, that's a win.
you gotta take the W on that one, guy. Yeah. Embrace it.
But he seemingly was not very happy that he could not get a table at Spago anymore.
Do you even know what Spago is? No. That is an extreme. Do you think Spago is still around?
Yeah.
That's another, like.
I hope they're still around, Tim. I've been on the wait list for 20 years now.
It's a Wolfgang Puck joint?
Oh, yeah. I knew that, Tim.
Wow.
Is it still open?
Yeah.
Okay.
Beverly Hills.
We should. Oh, I thought it was in New York. But Tim,
I'm just taking a look at the menu.
Tim, do you know how much you've humiliated us in front of our Beverly Hills audience right now?
Our significant Beverly Hills audience.
There's probably a few listeners.
But I don't know. Do you think Spago's cool?
It's probably still pretty good, you know?
Yeah, but like, is it where
people like O.J. Simpson would go to be seen?
Exactly.
I don't know. Tim, I have to plead ignorance. I don't know if that's the case or not.
Braised short rib tortellini, honey glazed veal sweetbreads. I don't want any of this food.
Yeah, well, you're a vegetarian, so no, you wouldn't want any
sweetbreads,
of that.
Tom? You want sweetbreads? You can glaze all the honey on the veal sweetbreads.
Yeah, veal sweetbread.
Yeah.
Nah, the sweetbread's fine. You don't have to put veal on there.
What? You know what sweetbreads is?
What?
Look it up.
Oh, no. Is it something gross?
Yeah.
It's not just bread that's sweet?
No, it's part of the veal. I'll tell you that
okay.
much.
There's such a thing as sweet bread, though, and it's different. It's just bread that's sweet.
Oh, no. It's the pancreas or thymus gland of a young animal.
Veal.
Yeah.
No, thanks. What were we talking about, OJ?
So, yeah, I don't think we were talking about Spago.
Oh, but I was saying, you know.
He couldn't do that, not to mention he lost the civil trial shortly
after.
Well,
I was going to say, yeah, he lost the civil trial.
So, like, not only could he not go to Spago, he probably couldn't afford Spago. Right. Although, like, whenever they take all these rich guys' money, they're still rich. This keeps happening, right? Like Alex Jones.
Yeah,
he's like, I can't pay this money. And then he's still like a rich guy living in a mansion. It's like, what?
Yeah, you never really hear about people like getting financially ruined by these kinds of things.
Like when they're like, OJ Simpson, all of your money needs to go to the Goldman family with good reason. And he's like, all right. And then he's like, living in a really nice house, a house nicer than I could ever have, and I don't have to give all my money to any
right.
anybody.
Right. Except for
Uncle Sam. Except for Joe Brandon, right?
I was just reading about
people who made poor decisions and got into debt to go to college.
Yeah. Well, and he's paying people to come up here and vote illegally.
Yeah.
He's handing
live here and vote.
What was I gonna say? You threw me off with that with all your.
I know. I just I your Joe felt, Brandon I felt talk you to veering him. Back into like race relations again. I don't think we have the gravitas as to white men or the perspective to delve too deeply into that.
I don't think that was where I was going. Yeah, I mean, and now I completely lost track.
You were saying he thought he could go back to his old life and he couldn't. He was discovering that he couldn't.
Right. And
I'm just asking, if you had to pay $175 million
you
can't come up with that money,
why
do you still get to live at a freaking resort?
I'd
love to live at a resort.
I was going
to
talk about this guy that Nintendo went after, Gary Bowser, because he was part of this like Nintendo Switch hacking thing to like play pirated games.
Okay. This is recently.
This is somewhat recently. He got out of jail like a couple of years ago, but his wages are Nintendo won like a $15 million settlement against a guy that doesn't have anywhere near that. Yeah. And I just read an article about how even when he was in jail, he had to pay them $25 a month from like his jail wages. it made me think like,
what did he do to Nintendo?
He like facilitated piracy essentially.
Okay.
Yeah, but they got him like forever.
Yeah.
Forever they get like a quarter
nailed into
of
the wall,
his,
huh?
Yeah. But OJ, well, part of it was that he moved to Florida where they have laws that property can't be seized to repay debts. It's one of the few states. I don't know what the other states are. But that's a big thing in Florida that doesn't matter what you owe somebody, they can't take your house. So he wisely realized, this guy's going to bleed me dry. So let me move to
Which
Florida.
In some cases.
Maybe it's a case in Vegas, too, because I believe he was also living there.
Yeah.
At least at certain points in his life. Or maybe
well, he was living there for nine years.
Yeah. But I think he did have a place after that too. Maybe he didn't. Maybe one of his kids owned it or whatever, so they couldn't go after it. But I feel like Vegas was. I saw a video. It was like one of his last tweets. Him 2 months ago. I think it was in Vegas. Doing a video saying like, there's reports of me in hospice. Like, look, I'm not in hospice. And like, obviously, okay, maybe he wasn't, but that report probably came out because there were talks of that or whatever.
Right.
I don't know what he thought. I'm gonna prove them wrong and go out and say no.
Yeah, I don't know what your beef is with.
I'm just saying, like, obviously he was not doing well because he died. I don't know why he felt the need to, like, I think the explanation is that he's a compulsive liar and was like, people know that I'm dying. Well, let me record a video to lie about how I'm not dying.
Well, You know what? You can lie about that kind of stuff.
I mean, I'm just saying it. I thought it was
and
a
to,
weird
and
thing.
And to suggest that you can't, Tom, would be a HIPAA violation, and I might call the HIPAA police on
I'm
you.
I'm not saying you can't. I'm just saying I thought it was a weird thing.
Open
for
his medical records. We need to know just how sick he was when he made that tweet.
I'm just saying. What did he give a shit if people knew?
I don't know. He's got all these endorsement deals.
Exactly. It's like, I guess maybe he was putting it out there to be like, you know, screw you haters, I'm not dying.
Well, I mean, he clearly wasn't in hospice.
No, he could have been in hospice and they brought him outside. He was,
I mean, I guess that's what the hospice isn't like a room.
Yeah, he was sitting in the driver's seat of a car that wasn't on, saying like, I'm fine.
Yeah, but like, what do you care?
I don't.
I take issue to some of the other stuff.
No, by far, I think this is the worst thing he did. Lying. He was not doing well, and he owed it to the world to tell them and not lie about it. Anyway, so after the civil trial, he moved to Florida, but also it became hard for him to make money.
Right.
So he started doing a series of wacky things.
Right.
The first one I want to talk about is a little VHS tape you could have ordered by calling up 1-800-OJ-TELLS.
Oh, yeah, I remember this.
It was called O.J. Simpson, The Interview.
Right.
And I found it is on YouTube. You can watch it in its entirety for free.
Did this Bowser guy facilitate the pirating of that as well?
Presumably something like that. I kind of have a feeling like nobody ever applied for a copyright on this or whatever. But again, it's such a weird encapsulation of like the media at that time that a very famous man had just been declared not guilty of murder and now could not make money. So the way he tried to make money was selling a $29.95 tape that was just a 2.5 hour interview produced by him.
Mm-hmm.
But also includes, which is interesting, genuinely interesting to watch, like a walkthrough of locations on his property where presumably things were found, things happen. You know, he goes along the walkway between the fence and Cato's like guest house where, you know, Cato said he heard like thumping against the air conditioner.
Tom, I would argue he was ahead of his time there, right? Because nowadays,
I don't necessarily
like,
think
somebody
it was
in the
a
beginning
crazy thing.
Of the in the middle of a media circus can be like, okay, I can go on Good Morning America or whatever,
but
and
I'm
they
not
fi-
gonna
and
be
like
able to
they'll
completely
pay me
it.
For pictures or whatever. I can't control it, and I don't make or. I can produce this, make more money from it, and completely control the narrative.
I mean, we just saw it with Dan Schneider in Quiet on Set.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, he put out a video.
And it worked. Everybody loves him now.
They're talking about...
this guy does not seem weird and creepy.
Yeah, they're talking about rebooting his shows about children's feet that he liked Megan. No, it was... He put out, I don't know, like a 20-minute YouTube video. He got one of the actors that liked him from one of his shows to interview him. Obviously, it's like, this is not, that guy's not a journalist. That's a friend you are probably paying to ask questions you or somebody working for you wrote.
Right. But
it worked, yeah.
It worked the same way that...
Or it worked enough, like it didn't make things worse.
And like, it's not like, oh, he's holed up in hiding and refuses to do any interviews. He's like, no, I did an hour-long interview.
Yeah. And people that want to believe him, now they have something to point to.
Does anybody want to believe Dan Schneider?
I think so. I think there are, I mean, even in that, did you watch that documentary?
No, I didn't watch. I watched the first episode and I was like, I don't...
Yeah.
You know what? I think I'm going to be a bad global citizen because I'm just like, sad things I just want to watch like movies and stuff about happy things. You know what I mean? I don't want to watch 6 hours of like, here's how children were exploited on
cable
network. It's like, I don't want that to happen, and I would read an article about it and lament that and be happy that it's being brought to light. But like,
I can't be like, honey, the new
child exploitation expose is out. Like,
right.
Let's sit down, make some popcorn. Yeah.
Oh yeah. No, I totally agree, and I think that is actually a big thing nowadays, that
consuming that as entertainment.
Oh, absolutely that, but also the, like...
The menu for Spago up on my screen.
Keep it up. Sorry, we might want to make an order. Can you put it on the Concorde and bring it to New York?
Tom, you joke, but people, I'm sure they've done that for people.
That the sweetbread's worth it. I once again lost track of what
I was
saying.
No, that's the thing
That people don't have to read the gory details about every bad thing that happens in the world to feel bad about things and know about things. Like, you don't have to self-flagellate to be like, no, I need to hold my eyes open like a Clockwork Orange. And like, I need to know the details of how badly this guy did things. But. I guess my point was just that
leave Dan Schneider alone.
Look, he's a nice man. No, in that documentary, there are people that have like nothing, only good things to say about him.
Right.
And the thing is, most of these bad people are not bad to everyone they meet.
Yeah, OJ didn't murder everybody.
Yeah. Well, that's part of the game, is that like you also have to make sure that when somebody accuses you, you've got 20 other people that will look at that person like they're crazy and silence them, which happens a lot, especially with this other guy, Brian Peck, in the documentary. The documentary as a whole is not very good. It does a very bad job covering certain aspects, but that is one of the things, like even Drake Bell, who is a victim of this other guy, Brian Peck, like he talks about where he's like, look, I know you're talking about Dan Schneider too, but honestly, like he was the only person at Nickelodeon that like came to me when all this stuff happened and was on my side. So I think there are probably plenty of people that they want to believe that is the real Dan Schneider. So then when he puts a documentary out, or he puts his own interview out, they can go, ah, I knew it. Yep, he is a good guy. And I think that's what OJ was doing here. You know, 2.5 hour tape where like, no, he answered every question.
Yeah, exactly.
They asked him point blank, did you kill them? And he said, no.
Right. But also like, how is that different than a Diane Sawyer interview? You ever watch those things where it's just like, did you kill her? No.
Yeah.
Then why do people say that you did? Because they're out to get me.
Yeah, no, I don't think there's, I don't think if he, I mean, he did do interviews. He did an interview with BET not long after the trial. He did this tape interview. And then later he did the interview that didn't air initially.
Yeah,
that was going
Judith
with his
Regan, is that her name?
Yeah, with his If I Did It book, which was essentially a confession.
Yeah, and that's another thing. Much like this episode seemed like a lot of fun where it'd be like because I remember, so he and I don't know, he kept having these gambits to make money, and then the Goldmans would come in, the Goldman family, who was like, you know, who he owed millions and millions of dollars to, would be like, okay, you very publicly just made all this money. That's ours. And like, that's, again, rightfully ours. So, but like, so he struck this deal to make money with, what publisher? It doesn't matter. It's Judith Regan's imprint.
Yeah. I know it was, I know it was a Fox special.
And it was like, he wrote a book that was like all like a bunch of like really, I don't know, a lot of quote unquote fluff.
Yeah.
And then one chapter where he describes hypothetically what would have happened if he did murder.
Yeah.
Like what, how that night would have gone.
Right. Which is not a thing a normal person would ever do.
Right.
There, I certainly struggle to think of people who have been cleared and wrong in a murder case who then wrote a book hypothesizing right. how it could have gone if they did do it.
Especially when like that's one chapter of the book and the rest of the chapter, the rest of the book is explaining how much he loved the victim and how devastated
and that
he
was
to
that.
And like
and how she was actually very bad to him.
Right.
Yeah.
But then there was also this component with, I'll get to when I thought this, where he sat for an interview to promote the book, but like also probably got paid more.
Yeah,
than
I think
the,
he was paid. I think,
and basically,
or it was like part of the overall deal
where they, where he essentially like the centerpiece of the interview was him describing that chapter where he hypothetically, and like at the time it was so absurd.
Yeah,
it was like, man, this is fucking crazy, right? That this guy
and
is
it's like, I don't know
admitting,
what's crazier, if he didn't do it and he's doing this, or if he did do it and he's
but
doing
then
this.
And like the whole thing got like at the 11th hour just like completely, when everybody was like, what the fuck are we doing here? Or people were like, what the fuck are you doing here? And they're like, oh, yeah, right. No, we were just kidding. We're not going to put that out. They destroyed all the copies of the book. They canceled the...
And then the Goldmans got the book and put it out themselves.
Yeah, because they had rights to everything that he got money for. So they put it out themselves. They did a very cute thing where they put the "if" very small on the cover.
Yeah, so it looks like it just said, I did it.
Yeah, but like... Again, I hope they made a ton of money off that. But when you read that book, and I remember when it came out, we found pirated copies.
Yeah,
it's like this is so absurd. Yeah. This is hilarious. And then you read it, and it's like, oh no, this is just gruesome and terrible. And like, what the fuck is everybody thinking here?
Yeah,
and like,
why did the people at the publisher read this?
Yeah,
and
why was I excited to read this?
Yeah,
like it's just on its face absurd,
right?
But like, you know, the slightest bit of digging, and you're just like, oh, this makes me feel gross. And then like a couple of years ago, they did air that, right?
Yes,
and nobody watched it, or I didn't watch it.
Yeah,
I've never seen it.
I forget what the details of it, like finally airing, what surrounded that.
Yeah,
like,
they like recut it into like they recontextualized it in a way that was like, can you believe that? It was the network that originally produced it, but they were just like, this is like found footage that is like disgusting, but like it's journalism to show you this.
Yeah, and it was the book was definitely not a bestseller, and I think, part of me almost wondered if the Goldmans, if they were somehow involved in leaking it, just to be like, yeah, we don't even want him to be able to be like, well, I didn't get the money, but I had a number one bestseller. Where like it leaked, I don't know, a year or two before it actually got published, or at least that chapter did.
Yeah,
and like you said, you read it and you were like, oh, so yeah, no. Even if the money's going to the Goldmans, I don't want to pay money for this. It just feels gross. So that happened in the late 90s. He unsuccessfully attempted to trademark his name, nickname, and catchphrase, The Juice, for commercial purposes. But a concerned citizen, lodged a complaint. Not an anonymous guy either, just like a regular dude was like, nah, this is messed up. And the trademark office was like, this concerned citizen's right. We're not going to do this. He moved from California to Florida in 2000, because it was not only property, it was also his NFL pension.
Oh, right.
They in Florida, they can't easily seize pensions. I guess maybe
that's
in some cases
all the
they
old
can.
People are there.
Yeah, that's what they came down there for, to have their pensions not be seized.
I mean, if I had a pension, I wouldn't want it to be seized.
No. He
nobody under 60 even knows what a pension is.
Yeah, well, and also, you know, you think about he probably didn't even really care about his NFL pension before all this happened.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Then all of a sudden it was
like... It was like Jay Leno with the Tonight Show money.
Yeah.
It's just like, yeah, no, I put that away.
Right, but then all of a sudden it's like, oh, that's a significant source of income. I want that. He's arrested in 2001 in Florida, charged with battery and burglary for a road rage incident, but he was acquitted. He took a guy's glasses off, like angrily took another guy's glasses off during this incident.
That is, I can't imagine how that would even work.
I don't know. He could have, maybe he poked the guy in the eye.
Did he break the glasses?
Nah, I think he just snatched them, you know?
But, like, I don't know, you get snagged in so many different ways.
It
depends on how narrow the guy's face is,
I guess. Hey, they could have been sunglasses. We don't know what kind of glasses they were. I think they were eyeglasses.
Sunglasses can get snagged too, Tom.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, you know, there's a lot of glasses out there. Maybe they did get snagged, Tim. We don't know if he cleanly took them off.
Well, this is the kind of journalism I expect you to bring.
Well,
to
I think it's a he said thing.
All right. Well, He was acquitted. Ultimately, the glasses didn't fit the other man.
This I thought was kind of, this is honestly like kind of fucked, where I think this is an example of like, I mean, as people know, like when he went to prison for 9 years in Vegas, that was seen as like kind of a crazy sentence for the actual crime he committed,
right?
And more as a like, oh, this is payback for, like, you know, because he served 9 years, but he was sentenced I think like 22 or something like that, and he was charged with kidnapping, because it was a deal for memorabilia of his that he claimed was stolen from him, and some sports collector was selling it to another sports collector in a Vegas hotel room. And his idea was like, I'm going to show up with a gun and other guys and take my shit back.
Right.
And that's going to be fine because it's mine.
Right.
Even though I have no proof that any of this is mine.
Maybe he did. I don't know. It just seems like remember before when we were talking about when you're almost about to go to jail for a really long time and then you don't have to go to jail? Maybe you think about, this could send me to jail. Even if somebody even slightly misunderstands what I'm doing here.
Right. Like,
or doesn't agree with my perspective on whether or not it's legal for me to threaten someone with a firearm.
Yeah, and especially when it's like, I don't know what it was. I think some like jerseys and stuff like that, where it's like, yeah, of course these at one point belong to you, OJ Simpson, but there are plenty of your jerseys and stuff out there being sold. Like, you're not going to be able to prove this ball. And even if I think in the trial, it kind of was like, yeah, I think this actually did belong to him, but like he did not go about it the right way getting it back. Because I think maybe the people selling it didn't even necessarily have a hand in stealing it. I forget all the details. But anyway, people saw that as like...
He got railroaded.
He got railroaded. But I didn't know about this other railroading, this like, much less consequential railroading. But on December 4th, 2001, Simpson's Miami home was searched by the FBI on suspicion of ecstasy possession and money laundering. The FBI had received a tip that Simpson was involved in a major drug trafficking ring after 10 other suspects were arrested in the case. Simpson's home was thoroughly searched for 2 hours, but no illegal drugs were discovered. No arrests, formal charges were filed. However, investigators uncovered equipment capable of stealing satellite TV programming, which eventually led to Simpson being sued in federal court by DirecTV. DirecTV successfully sued him 3 years later for $25,000 in damages plus legal fees
for stealing cable?
For using illegal devices to pirate satellite TV.
Wow.
The fact that that happened based on the FBI getting a warrant based on drug possession, and then they didn't find any drugs.
Right.
That's,
and found an illegal cable hookup.
Which I guarantee you some of those FBI agents had at home, too.
Yeah, well, hey, Tom, don't get me started on FBI agents.
Actually, FBI, they're all goody-two-shoes. But
are they, though?
But I've never...
You wanted to be an FBI agent.
I did want to be, yeah. But, Tim, not good.
You're too much of a bad boy.
I'm too much of a bad boy.
I don't hear much about ecstasy these days.
People are into MDMA now.
I don't know what any of it is. Like,
similar or maybe even the same. I don't know. But
yeah. I don't know what any of it is. And I never was clear if it was cooler to call it E or X.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
And that's why I could never order it. Right.
You weren't sure the cool way to order it. You just knew I certainly can't just ask for ecstasy.
No. That's the lamest thing of all.
That I'm not a drugsman at all. But I don't know. I just think of not so much in the 2000s, I guess, but like, I don't know, as a kid, like people whose families had like illegal cable boxes. I never heard of somebody having to pay like
$25,000.
Well, and it was like another $36,000 because he had to cover DirecTV's legal fees. So it was like $60,000 he got hit with.
Wow.
Yeah. If you like the show, you can find out more at tcgte.com. Tim, you got it.
Did we wind up in a pro OJ position at the end?
Free OJ. TCGT.com. You can find all our social media links.
TV's pretty smart, though, for coming in and being like, hey, you know, we could like make a quick
really throw the
few
book
dozen
at.
Grand off. You know, like anybody else, they'll be like, pay like, a $500 fine, whatever, blah, blah. But we'll get a judge that'll nail this guy to the wall for this. Sorry, go on.
You can follow me on social media. I'm at Tom Reynolds.
Follow me at your pal, Tim.
And check out patreon.com/completeguide, where we do books of podcasts every damn week.
Every GD week. Every day of the week.
You know what books of podcasts is, goddammit. It's a podcast where we talk about books. And this week, Tim's finishing up Big Trouble.
Big Trouble.
By Dave Barry. And then next week we'll watch the movie. And then... Who knows what happens from there?
It's Tommy's turn to read a book. Tell you. We're going back to that.
I'll tell you who will know. You, if you sign up. Patreon.com/completeguide. Is that all the plugs?
Yeah, Patreon. So. Let's do the Patreon.
Yeah, I did the Patreon.
I know. I'm telling the people. Did. Go do the Patreon.
Yeah. Surprised OJ didn't have a Patreon.
Go right to the Goldmans. Probably when he set something like that up, it's like... He's legally required to put in like their bank details for the payout.
The direct deposit goes. Ron Goldman's like, here's my PayPal account. Use this when you sign up for shit like that.
I don't know. Shitty thing happened to him, but it was cool how like he was just like, yep, I'm gonna get justice. One or like he never got justice, but like how he was just like. Yeah, I'll,
Are you talking about trying to find the real killers?
No, Ron Goldman.
Oh. Yeah, or I'm just going to devote my life to making this guy's
Fred
life
Goldman.
Miserable.
Yeah, Fred Goldman. Coming in and being like, not even making it, like, he'll never be rid of me. Like,
Yeah. And that's what kind of... Well, I mean, we were talking a little bit about like, how come other people don't get financially ruined? Does it just come down to like, no, you have to be dogged,
persistent,
Fred Goldman of just like, nope, like he made that his full-time job of just.
Which also sucks, right? Like, because there's like also like, I imagine that impedes getting closure for this traumatic thing that's happened to you, right? Like, so maybe today.
Yeah.
Fred Goldman and family
feel
some sort of closure.
Yeah.
Maybe they go and start like taking the metal trimmings off of his casket and being like, that belongs to us too.
Yeah.
Selling this casket for scrap.
Yeah, you gotta give that
it's
to
my
us.
Casket.
You gotta give that to us before you lower it into the ground.
Dump him in a hole.
All right. We'll see you next week. We'll be right back.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.